Thank you very much, Adam. I'm glad to be here. I hope that the things that I'll be able to say this evening will be short and easy and simple to understand, because we do live in such times of turmoil. And I just would like to thank the Lord for the sermon that we heard this morning, that it was on our brother's mind, these kind of things, and we do need to address them. We need to address the fierceness of this world head on with our Savior and with His Word, with His power and His might. It's very important. So I'm going to bring this up now. And so here we go. The present truth in perilous times. And so I'll get back to that title later as I get to a scripture. But it doesn't mean that there's a truth that was true today and something that wasn't true 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, because the truth is always really the same. The truth stays the same. But there have been many times in history when there have been perilous times, and I'm going to try and explain what I think is the peril that we have in the time in which we live. First, I have this. I would like you, as we go through here, I'm going to repeat this passage, and it's just going to be part of it, but I would like it to be kind of like a memory verse, and I'm going to, you know, ask you if you would say it with me a few times. And it just says this from the book of Luke. It was after a discourse of a lot of things, and here the Lord is saying, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, just prior to this, someone had come to him, you know, and said, you know, how blessed, you know, really basically is your mother, you know, for bearing you and et cetera, and nursing you and this kind of thing. And it's kind of odd because what we're dealing with now is always this very subtle way of trying to bring you and make you the most important thing in the world, or to make someone else, to make man somehow a little bit bigger than God or bigger and more important than Jesus, or to somehow put them in this place. And it's very subtle, like the Lord had, he's responding to this statement, you know, blessed are the, you know, the woman that bore you, et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all these things. But he's saying, you know, the person that's blessed is the person that hears my word and keeps it. That's who's blessed. Not because there's not some special privilege that someone has, as some of the governments of the world have. There's all kinds of special privileges that go on in the governments in the world today, and all kinds of people who suffer, who have no privileges whatsoever. And some of you have traveled extensively in other countries. You've seen people like this. They have no special privileges except their family, maybe their neighbors, and that's all that there is besides life, and life is a struggle for them. But anyone can be happy in the Lord. They can find peace. But what's so important, really, why I like this is because, you know, it's like the Beatitudes where the Lord started off and he said, you know, blessed be the poor in spirit, et cetera, et cetera. And that word blessed, I love to repeat what it means, what it really means in terms that we can understand. It means happy. 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 Happy is the one that hears the word of God. But people today are very angry about the word of God. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about that somewhat. So here's a scripture. And we've read this many times, and I could read on the rest of it, but I'm not going to read everything that's after this because you're quite familiar with it. But this is what it says in 2 Timothy. This know, and chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I believe he's talking really about the days that we live in. Perilous times. And I believe the great peril, you know, the peril that has been made apparent to us in our eyesight in the past few years has been come from wars and from street violence and from the terrible events of this week. Things like that. But why is it really perilous? And the reason that it's really perilous is its effect that it would have on you. What effect does this day have on you? Would it lead you away? Would it cause you to stumble? Would it cause you to live in despair? This is the peril of the day. What would happen to you? So we go to the book of Revelation. And to the revelation of John in chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. And so this is what it says. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. What are we talking about? You know, there's a lot of things that Babylon was. And one of the things it was really was the apostate church. It was some of the governments of the world that were in union with religions in the past. And Babylon was a system, an economic and a religious system. And interestingly enough, you know, by doing a little reading and stuff, I had opportunity to listen to a couple of Jonathan Cahn's books the last couple of weeks. And interesting, he was making some points about how things shift in time and how every civilization seems to take on the same things, the same gods. Only they don't have any names today. You know, Cupid or Venus or Aphrodite and are just the female versions of what's this called? His name, Dragon or something like that, and Baal and others. And they were gods that were perverse and sexual, and they were gods. And they all ended up, every one of them, somewhere in time in history, killing their kids, every one of them. Interesting, isn't it? Killing their kids, offering their kids as burnt sacrifice. And they even got so good at it way back, you know, several thousand years ago. They got so good at it, they could even take the life of the kid before it was born. They got really good at this. Skilled. How odd. How perilous is this time we live in. You know, make you think about yourself. And as our brother mentioned today, you know, I'm somebody that I do think that we do need to maintain a certain amount of declaration, not only from the pulpit, but from our private lives, that there are certain things we will not do or participate in, nor will we smile at or laugh at. There are things that are going on that are just terrible. But he says here, Babylon the Great is fallen. So what is it, this religious system that's made everything that people want? You know, usually three main areas, power, pleasure. I don't think what the other one is. But, you know, they're just things that happen every day to us, that we're tempted by these things, popularity, all these kind of things that every generation has to fight. And in the olden days, it had the names of gods to them. Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, the word bird doesn't really, you know, strike too much fear into anybody. But I think it's kind of interesting, you know, when you find out that the people who study dinosaurs and stuff, they really think that the dinosaurs are really more like birds, because they think that, you know, the meat eaters, if there was a difference, you know, in which we probably was, there were meat eaters and there were vegetation eaters and grass eaters and fruit eaters and all kinds of things, I suppose, at one time on the earth. But they like to compare them to birds, because birds are one of the most voracious, vicious predators on the face of the earth. Maybe more so than even, you know, sharks and fish in the ocean. They're just absolutely They're so light and they're so strong, and they burn so many calories. They have to eat all the time. So many birds are just like that. I remember being down in Honduras one time and watching a little tiny bird about this big, with a beak about half as long as its body, going out underneath the door and coming back in and taking, you know, a grasshopper. Sometimes it'd be a grasshopper about as big as the bird or a roach or something. Always bringing in these just one after another, taking them to her two or three little chicks that were up in the nest. And they did that day after day after day. And I mean, coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. And just constantly those birds were eating, voracious, eating all that stuff. And by the end of the week, those birds were gone. They were out. Mama kicked them out of the nest and they flew under the door. They went walking the door and they flew away. Just tremendously voracious. This is what it means to have an appetite to destroy, an appetite to devour. And there are people like that today. They have this appetite. And if you're not careful, you'll get sucked into it also. And it's very easy for someone like me to get sucked into these, to those kind of things, to think about the terrible injustice. And, you know, it's interesting that I'm really glad to hear what my brother said today, you know, that, he, you know, his Papa Bear came out. And I tell you, I have that all, I have that sense all the time. I want to get up and charge in, you know, with an axe handle or something. I just can't stand the things that go on. And without God's help, I'm sure I would fall. I'm in peril. I'm in peril. And the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And we have this major amount of international commerce that's never been seen, I don't think, I don't believe, on the face of the earth ever. These boats that they have built that are just huge, and they have all these containers on top of these ships, and just one after another. I don't know, how many are there? Has anyone counted them? Are there 500,000? I don't know, there's just an unbelievable amount going between the nations and selling, and people getting rich, and getting rich off of things like slave labor. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Babylon the Great. Just to get rich. That's the one of the main things. And of course, the counter to that is often just as evil. Every bit as evil. To destroy that, but what would they bring? You know, a dictatorship or something even worse. And the only one who has the answer is found in God's Word. Is God Himself and Jesus Christ. That's where the answer. And this is how we have to face the day that we live in and these terrible things. So here's some things we need to watch out for. Just plain and simple. It says right here in 2 Nephi 6, 65 to 78. And woe unto the deaf that will not hear. Do we have anyone like that, you know, and get into politics? The deaf who will not hear, for they shall perish. Woe unto the blind that will not see, for they shall perish also. Woe unto the uncircumcised of heart, for a knowledge of their iniquity shall smite them at the last day. Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto the murderer who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. Woe unto them who commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Yea, woe unto they that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. And in fine, woe unto all they that die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold His face and remain in their sins. There is peril in the world, the same peril that's always been there. It's really always been there. We just need to be aware of it. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. This war has been going on from the very beginning, right from the garden. Remember, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life eternal. Oh, my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel, and do not say that I have spoken hard things against you. You know, I really like that when someone, I can't remember who it was, it came up here, maybe it was Adam, talked about doing hard things, and Chris and I bought a sign from that, one of those towns in Utah, tourist place, where it says, you know, we can do hard things. And it's kind of been the theme of our lives, Chris and I, a lot of things. We've done a lot of things on our own. Say, well, you know, no one's going to buy this for us, so we better just make it, you know, whatever it is, and see what happens. And just keep on going. Let's see. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you. We can do hard things, brothers and sisters. And if ye do, ye will revile against the truth. And I have spoken the words of my Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. Are you shaken by the truth about yourself? Well, maybe you're in more peril than maybe you realize. We need to make our peace with God and to write God's word in our heart, and then we will be blessed. We'll be happy. So we go on here. And in the fourth verse of Revelation chapter 18, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. You know, I try to look at this, and I try to figure out, you know, what's some sort of a something that maybe you can relate to when we're going out into the world, you know, and we're going against this. How do we withdraw from Babylon? That's really a good question. How do we withdraw from Babylon? You know, because it's everywhere around us. So how do we do it? So I was thinking, well, you know, this is kind of like when I have driven. I remember years ago, my family, when we lived out in Queen Creek, back when it was still a little tiny farming community and had two grades. I think it had two grades in most classrooms out there for a while. And of course, I graduated from the eighth grade in Queen Creek, wore a tie and a suit and that sort of stuff. Things have changed quite a bit. But when we drove and we would go to church, we probably would pass, we'd go about 20, 30, 40 miles, something like that. I don't really know how far it was. But we would drive across, and like if you were to start here and you say, well, I'm going to go downtown, and you stay off the freeways and you stay on the surface streets, and you're going to drive about 20 miles, well, for certain you're going to drive through at least 20 intersections. Major intersections with stoplights, at least, it's because there's one every mile, generally speaking. Maybe sometimes there's two every mile. And every time you come to that intersection, you know, if you're not awake and alert, if you're on your cell phone or something, or if you're just, you're not paying attention, you know, that's where, if you ask anyone, that's the most dangerous place is the intersection. Wherever you come in the intersection, and then between the stoplights, of course, how many other intersections are there from just feeder streets or residential streets or business complexes or something? There's always this intersection where you come in contact with someone going a little different direction than you are. And that's really the way we need to live to a great extent in the law of God, walking through life knowing that we're going to run into someone every day that's going a different direction than we are. And there's a danger. There's a danger in this. But maybe this greatest danger is if God or if Satan can possibly get a hold of your emotions, which that would be hard to do, right? You don't get emotional about things or you to think is just to get you emotional and to get you on this roller coaster so that you would commit sin, that you would yield to your emotions. And that is such a terrible place to get yourself into. And I remember my mother, I'm sure I've told you this, but I think probably as I was growing up in Sedona and we lived up in that little motel for a while, and my parents ran it, managed it. I think I kicked a perfect foothold. It looked just like a shoe print, probably in about three doors in the house. That's back when, you know, there were just those thin doors. And my mother, she had it figured out what to do and how to stop me from doing that. She made me go over to the hardware store and buy something that would fix it. And I had to talk to the people there, find out all the information. How do I fix a door with a kick hole in it? And I learned pretty quick. It was the beginning of my carpentry, actually. Keep fixing a hole in a door. But we get older, and we cannot afford to make that kind of a mistake any longer. We have to be in control. We have to get to the place where we can face everything and with the help of God, the blessing of God, be able to live through it. So here is a scripture that is just above our the one that is our memory verse for this evening. And this is what it says here. You know, and Jesus was talking, and he's talking now about unclean spirits. And so he says in verse 24, chapter 11 of Luke, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And so, if your spirit is not filled with God's word, you can bet the devil has something to go in its place. And if you're not a practicing follower of Christ, a practicing believer, a practicing prayer in your life, and trying to better yourself every day, because that's what the gospel of Christ demands of us. It demands of us, and he gives us this promise that if you'll do certain things and you'll come and you'll believe and you'll be baptized and then you'll start to follow me, that I'll give you my spirit. I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and you can walk through life. And it will fill all those corners. That and the Word of God will fill those corners. And your good works and the things that you do in your life and your kindness towards other people. But if you get busy playing and only playing and not working on yourself and on your life that you want to have in the future with God and with Christ, you can forget. And there comes a place when you know you may not be prepared for the next thing that they're going to show us on TV. Because quite honestly, as our brother pointed out this morning, it was pretty tough watching those two things. And they showed them, you know, depending on where you went, and graphically. It was really kind of tough. And that in itself, you know, I mean, it's nice that the truth is out there. It's nice that people see that, I think, to a certain extent. But it could be a problem if this becomes a steady diet of this. And it leaves impressions in your mind that only the Word and the power of God can get rid of. And it's a danger. And it would be, if you become cold and calloused, there are just things in our lives that can change so fast. And you could end up, you know, on the giving end of one of these things in retaliation or something. And it's really, it's a very, it's a dangerous thing. And you've got to keep your life filled with God's Holy Spirit. And keep those things out and watch what you say and what you do and what you think. And sometimes it's hard to get, how can I watch what I think? But you can. You can actually learn to control your thoughts. But it takes, Adam likes to say, you have to do it intentionally. You have to intentionally think about something. You've got to read something that's good. You've got to talk and say things that are good. You've got to intentionally put better, good things in your life. You've got to intentionally kneel down at night, not just to get it over with, but to kneel down and talk to God. In the morning, midday, when you're alone, you've got to fill your life with these things. So here we have 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. And here we are, this word. It's got this word. What in the world does this mean? You mean like there was a truth back then and there's a truth now? And no, it's not like that. It's like in a school or in the army or something, and they start calling out names for people that are there, and someone calls out truth, and Jesus answers present. That's what it means. He's here. The truth is here. This truth that was here, this is the truth that was there in that day, the truth of Jesus Christ that Peter was bearing witness of. It's about the truth that is present, that is here. We have the truth. So we have what we need right in front of us. We have Christ and was established by Him. And we need to be established. This is how we can grow. You can't just come into the gospel. When you come into the gospel, you have to continue to grow. And God will bring things into your life that make put you under a stress. You know, just like you're doing exercises and you're lifting weights, or you're doing something for the fire department, you're trying to get stronger and faster and better with whatever, saving lives. It takes exercise. It takes a strain. It takes the use. And it's not always that comfortable. But we've got to use ourselves. We've got to grow in the gospel. So here it is again. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, would you repeat this with me? On the count of three. Ready? Blessed are, what? One, two, three. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Happy. Happy are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I really love that verse. So here we have again more of this part of Babylon. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You know, it might be nice if we didn't have to ever worry about anything getting any worse here on the earth. But as I'm thinking about it, so wouldn't I be willing to do without some things in my life? Wouldn't I be willing maybe to eat leaner and get leaner? Maybe there'd be a shortage of food, a shortage of this, a shortage of that, gasoline that costs $12 a gallon. Would I be willing to do that if the Lord was going to take away evil? Because this is, when He does this, when Babylon falls and comes down, He's doing it so that the church, so God's people, wherever they are, in whatever land they're in, will not be underneath her any longer. That's what He's doing. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and they're terrible. And I just guess I don't need to mention them all, you know. But I can hardly help not mention them. Like organ harvesting, can you believe such a thing? Everyone that knows anything about this seems to believe that that's exactly what's going on. People's lives are being sacrificed so that they can keep someone else alive. Is there something worse? I can't imagine. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And so when I think about everything, the things that are coming on the earth, I cry out unto God, you know, Lord, I know we're not necessarily really supposed to pray for the day of the Lord, but I pray God's justice be done. And I'm willing to do without. And you know, when you can learn how to do without a great deal. You really can if you've still got family, if you've still got loved ones, if you've still got some way of meeting. And I just can't, I can't believe that the Lord doesn't have something planned to make sure that we can still do most of these things and that somehow He's got this plan to take care of us, that we shouldn't worry about this. But we should stand, as our brother was encouraging us to today. We are the Church of Christ. We belong to God. And there are a lot of good people in this world. And a lot of them think this is wrong, what's going on. And we do need to respond in wisdom and in love and in compassion. Jacob 2, 55 to 58. This is a story, really brief. I love these few verses that are here because it talks about this. There was this great conflict, as you know, between the Nephites and the Lamanites. Great, horrible conflict that would lead eventually, you know, led to many thousands of deaths and eventually lead to the extinction of the Nephites for the most part. But God saw something in the enemies of the gospel and something that they were doing that He said, I'm going to bless them someday greatly. So it says this, for they have not forgotten the commandment of the Lord, which was given unto our father that they should have, save it, were one wife and concubines, they should have none. And there should not be whoredoms committed among them. And now this commandment they observe to keep. Wherefore, because of this observance in keeping this commandment, the Lord God will not destroy them, but will be merciful unto them. And one day they shall become a blessed people. Behold, their husbands love their wives, and their wives love their husbands, and their husbands and their wives love their children. And their unbelief and their hatred towards you is because of the iniquity of their fathers. Wherefore, how much better are you than they in the sight of your great Creator? You know, God sees everything that's good that's done, just as He sees everything that's bad that's done. He knows who these people are on the earth. He knows who will listen. He knows exactly what to do. He knows how to send his spiritual missiles in to hit the right spot, the right exact spot. He knows what He's doing. But they were locked in this conflict and locked in a hatred. But they had, you know, part of this, that God was going to bless them. And so when I look out in the world and I see people like we do see in the world, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to bring back some of the older ways and the obeyance in the Judeo-Christian belief in the commandments of God and how all of society is founded on these things. I think, you know, God must really love them. And God protect them. God help them. And may the day come when some will be all one. That's my prayer. But until then, we just keep going. Mosiah 9 and 58. And there was one day in every week that was set apart that they should gather themselves together to teach the people and to worship the Lord their God, and also as oft as it was in their power to assemble themselves together. What an important scripture. to gather together. To gather together even when you're sleepy and you can't stay awake and whatever problems we have, what an important thing. God's given us such a simple, basic plan to take care of ourselves by coming to the house of God and opening our ears and reading on your own and praying on your own and thinking and trying to help one another and guide and support one another and loving one another and not forgetting. You know, you can't forget this. I had, when I was 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, I had several girlfriends, you know, that I considered really good friends in the Church of Christ. And I didn't marry one of them. But I, you know, someone a long time ago told me, you know, what you really have to do, you have to make sure of this. You know, whatever your relationship was, you should plan on having to serve Christ the rest of your life with that person, whoever they are. It's such a wise counsel. You know, yeah, you know, and nobody knows better than anyone else about the emotions involved and all the kind of things that happen to people. But we're still God's people, and we're going to have to serve. And that's part of learning how to live, you know, how is he able to forgive, and how is he able to work his way back into our lives. We have to be like him in that way and stay a part of people's lives and in the praying for other people. So whatever happens, you know, you've got to remember that, you know, the people that are here, there's a really good chance that someday you're going to be like Gordon and Pat and Chris and I, and you're going to be sitting here, and we've already had a lifetime together. Debbie, other people that I know, you know, that have been around for a long time. And we've seen a lot of stuff. Had our own share of difficulties. But in the end, they are my brothers and sisters. And I'm so thankful for that. So come to church. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So let's do it again. Let's do it three times. Okay, are you ready? One, two, three. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. One, two, three. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Once more. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What a promise. God bless you.